This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There is an urban renaissance underway in San Antonio and other major cities in America. There is the belief that a strong downtown will act as a magnet for jobs. It'll attract the nation's best young talent. It will define a city's brand. One of the big voices for a strong downtown is David Downey. He's the president and CEO of the International Downtown Association. Downey spoke recently in San Antonio. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Where it really starts to become impactful about what's the value of the downtown core is when we look at some of the other comparisons. 30 times as many jobs per square mile in the core than there is throughout the entire city, or 140 times as much office space, 30 times as much square footage of retail space, and 109 times hotel space, which I think as a great visitor's destination makes a lot of sense. But it begins to paint a little bit of a picture of, you know, is the downtown a major contributor to the value of the entire city? Absolutely. And there are some core measures that we can look at that help to define what is that value, but more importantly, set a baseline. So as I understand, you also have 13 other regional growth areas. You can begin to determine where do you want to have growth? How do you want to support that growth? How do you want to incentivize it? And then ultimately connect it via transportation options so that you've got a more livable community.
San Antonio is one of 13 cities examined in a recent report looking at downtown vibrancy and our future of downtown. Do you support the vision of a strong, vibrant downtown? Do you think too much attention is paid to the urban core at the cost of the rest of the city? How do you personally see downtown? Do you visit there? Do you work there? Do you want to? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource at tpr.org, and you can tweet us at tprsource. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Pat DiGiovanni. He's the president and CEO of the Downtown Advocacy Group Central San Antonio. Romero Gonzalez, he's the interim assistant director for the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations Department. And also with us is Ben Olivo. He's the managing editor of Folo Media. He's written a lot about downtown with the Folo Media and also with his previous years at the San Antonio Express News. And again, our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. So Pat DiGiovanni, tell us now, what do you think about the status of San Antonio's downtown?
Well, David, thank you for having us this afternoon. First of all, downtown San Antonio is on a trajectory like never seen before. Clearly, there are things happening in downtown in the last 5-6 years where it's really truly a renaissance. We're seeing more residential. We're seeing jobs returning to the urban core. We're seeing new activities, new amenities, and really, quite frankly, the future is quite bright when we look at the new things that are coming, like Hemisphere Park, the Zona Cultural on the west end of downtown, and then the whole Broadway cultural corridor from downtown all the way to Hildebrand. We're going to see some very exciting new places that are being created right in the heart of our city.
And people are interested in knowing how downtown impacts the rest of the city. How does a dollar spent on downtown benefit someone who lives down on South Cross?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why we did this study with the International Downtown Association and joining 12 other cities around the country, because we wanted to put a real quantifiable number on the value of downtown. So our downtown is a huge economic impact on the city. It's a $30 billion economy. We are a net contributor, the downtown is, to the general to the city's general fund. So that means that for every dollar that's spent, there's actually more than $1 that's returned to the city's general fund. So in essence, we're keeping taxes down for the entire city. And the area that we're talking about, David, is 0.3% of the entire land mass of San Antonio. And yet it has the ability for every dollar that's spent per square mile citywide, $15 to $18 is spent or is generated in the downtown area. So that very small area, which a lot of people would call a rounding error, is generating a tremendous economic impact to the city.
Romero Gonzalez, you're with the City of San Antonio's City Central City Development and Operations Department. So City Hall is right in the middle of downtown. If you work at City Hall, you're in downtown, or does that somehow give a little bit of a bias in favor of downtown?
No, I wouldn't say so at all. You know, obviously, if we're working downtown, then we're part of that fabric that contributes to the overall vitality of downtown, and we want to see more people living and working downtown. So it also gives us the best opportunity to see what is that downtown experience like for us and the rest of our city, so that when we see a problem downtown, we can immediately address it through the resources of the city. But we want a downtown that everyone can enjoy, everyone from those who live near it on the fringes and out at 1604. We need a downtown that everyone can be proud of, and also so that we actually, it gives us an economic advantage in terms of competing for jobs and talent across the state and across the nation.
Do you have one of those dedicated parking spaces downtown?
I do not.
So you have to fight for parking like the rest of us.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Ben Olivo, you're managing editor for Fullo Media. You write a lot about downtown. So what perspective do you bring here?
Well, I used to write a lot about downtown. I haven't actually been a full-time reporter for a couple of years like I was at the Express News writing about downtown. But I lived downtown for 10 years. I actually rent an office personally downtown, so I consider myself a downtowner still. I think, you know, what the gentlemen here have been saying, Pat and Romito, is correct. There have been a lot of movement, public and private investment happening downtown. You know, one of the criticisms that I had when I was a columnist at the Express News and reported Express News was it wasn't happening fast enough, you know, because I was a downtown resident. And but yeah, I mean, I think they're right. I mean, there is momentum certainly happening downtown.
Right. But are you concerned, because you write about the little guy, and you used to write about downtown, and you wrote a column about it recently, about how we have to think about downtown, how it's going to be used by everyone in San Antonio, including the people who clean the hotel rooms and the busboys on the Riverwalk, and they're all part of downtown as well. You got to make sure that it's for them just as well as people who get dedicated parking spaces.
Absolutely. I mean, I think when downtown's at its best is when it is a gathering place for the entire city. I mean, you look at Hemisphere Park and Yonaguana Garden, that's a free park that anybody from, no matter what community you come from, whether you're rich or poor, can go to. You know, my office overlooks Travis Park, and during the summer, they had movies in the park, and it's a great atmosphere. The place gets packed. I think where downtown isn't so great is the fact that there are a lot of housing developments that have been built, you know, the past few years, and most of those are affluent, luxury type apartments and condos. And so I think if downtown needs anything going forward, it could be like a diversity of rents.
Okay, so affordable housing brought into mixed use development with affordable housing included.
Exactly.
And so we'll talk more about that coming in there, making sure that downtown is available to everyone in San Antonio. We invite you to call in as we have our discussion. We want San Antonio to have a strong downtown because the belief is that's what holds a city together. Do you believe that? Give us a call. We want to have an exchange of ideas here. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll get to some of our calls as well. This is The Source when we continue.
In 2011, San Antonio was listed, because it was below a 20 percentile, as an emerging live-work area, which meant that you had 17% of the people living within a mile radius of the downtown also able to work in that space. That, in short, 3 years from 2011 to 2014 has evolved and actually pushed San Antonio into the next tier, which is now a high live-work environment.
That was David Downey, president of the International Downtown Association, speaking recently in San Antonio, talking about some of the progress that downtown San Antonio has made in its vibrancy index. We're talking about downtown, the vibrancy today, and what's expected to happen in the future, the investment that the city is making in that area. And if people here, our listeners, if you think these are dollars that are well spent, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We've got a caller, John. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in what the panel has to say about how the Institute for Texan Cultures adds to downtown vibrancy, Hemisphere Park, especially considering what's in the newspaper about the university hedging its bets. Thanks.
All right, John, thank you for that call. That's the University of Texas runs the Institute of Texan Cultures, and there's talk about whether or not they're going to continue to maintain it at its current level. And I'm looking around that Pat DiGiovanni, well, president and CEO of the Downtown Advocacy Group, Central San Antonio.
Yeah, the ITC certainly has the ability to add a great deal of value to the downtown.
I mean, any city would kill for a for a facility like that.
Right. The issue is that the best place for the, you know, the ITC, the Texas Museum? Is there a better place that obviously would be more connected with the rest of downtown? There's a great plan at Hemisphere to obviously revitalize the entire footprint of the old Hemisphere site. You have different owners. You have the city. You have the state through the ITC, and you have the federal government with the federal court house and the federal building there. So as time goes on, the land uses are going to change. I think one of the things that has to really be discussed is where is the best place for the ITC? It's underfunded, and I think it's undervalued in terms of a community asset that we certainly have a responsibility as a community to help figure out a better, more vibrant activity and experience for something that really is capturing the history of not just San Antonio, but of all of Texas.
And we hear some of these conspiracy theories that are out there about downtown. And Ben, you probably hear these too all the time. People, that the city has a plan to swap out for that land where ITC is now, and that's where they want to put a baseball field and all these other things. Can you talk about that, Ramiro Gonzalez? You're the interim assistant director for the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations Department. Is there any are any plans in the works for that land?
There's nothing in the works at this time. We met as a department with with the UT system regarding that site, you know, months ago, really just to talk about what are the kind of strategies that we use to leverage city assets and city land, just as an opportunity for them to also look at, okay, what are we missing here so that we can truly leverage this property and make ITC kind of take it to the next level, because it's not meeting their needs today either. So in terms of, you know, baseball stadiums, there's nothing on the table that's being discussed as of right now. But we're constantly looking at how can we partner with them to get the maximum value out of that site for both them and the public as a whole for that site next, so close to Hemisphere.
Ben, do you see the ITC as a major asset for downtown that's underutilized?
I think so right now, but the question is, what space does it go to? You know, if it's not there in the corner, that southeast corner of Hemisphere Park, then where? What's the best use for it? I remember when I was, you know, first started covering the very first conversations happening about Hemisphere many, many years ago now. there was discussion at that point, you know, about how wouldn't it be nice to kind of, you know, move the ITC to another place and clear up all that land for development. And that was a conversation.
They want to move it closer to the Riverwalk is one of the ideas. Maybe at the lagoon where the...
Yeah, that was one of the ideas. Of course, this was many, many years ago, yeah. And there have been many iterations since then. But
okay. So, Pat, tell us about the metrics that have been used in this study. What did they measure? What are all these different indicators of vibrancy in that we're looking at for downtown San Antonio?
Yeah, so the study really focused on five key areas that was developed by the International Downtown Association, economy being one, or the fiscal impact, the economic impact on the city. The issue of resilience, that is, can our downtown absorb the kinds of stresses and shocks that go through cycles? Its identity and how people view the downtown. The area of vibrancy, and so looking at the kinds of activities that make a downtown a vibrant place to live and to work. And then lastly, inclusion, which I think is one of the the bigger issues. Is this really everyone's downtown? And Ben mentioned that it really needs to be, and sort of Ram, the issue that this is a welcoming environment. This is something that it can be enjoyed by everyone in our community, not just those who are, let's say, urbanites by their background, but really all of San Antonio, which is a big city, 1.3, 1.4 million people. So there are factors or there are measurement points within each one of those five categories that we now have the ability to track and measure on an annual basis how we're doing in relationship to the city and relationship to the region in which we're in. And it's exciting to be able to, you know, for once, quantify and qualify those issues as we go along.
Are we able to compare how our downtown is evolving to other cities? What are we seeing?
Well, that really wasn't the purpose of the study, was to compare ourselves to other places, because every downtown is different in terms of its size, its geography, its demographics, its economy. You know, we're special unto ourselves. And so what we wanted to do was compare ourselves to the city and how it's growing, and also to the region and how it's growing and how it's flourishing.
Okay.
And so we'll be able to do that with this data set.
I'm going to take a call from our voicemail. And
hi, I think the new downtown development should promote walkability and cyclability instead of more cars and profiting off of cars downtown.
Okay, walkability and biking, that's a big part of downtown. I mean, downtown has gone through several changes. We tried to, what was that thing, the tri-party, the thing that they went through downtown? That was the idea.
Back to in make the late it, 80s.
Yeah, and that sort of, that was the death knell for a lot of downtown businesses, because it was, but, I mean, how do you bring in walkability without repeating the tri-party?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the caller's comments and questions about that. Number one, downtown has a walkability score of 82 on a scale of 100. Compared to the city as a whole, 38. So we're already far, far well above the overall walkability score of our city. But there's room for growth there, right? Our bikeable score is 76 compared to citywide 42, again on a scale of 100. And our transit score is 86 compared to our citywide transit score of 36. So there is room for improvement. And we, you know, we look to the city to, obviously, in terms of its infrastructure dollars, to put more money into how we can make our downtown more accessible and more walkable and more shadable, because, as you know, we're in a very hot climate in San Antonio.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And so, you know, things to make the experience more comfortable for those who are on bikes and on, and on foot is very critical to making downtown more livable.
Romero Gonzalez at the City of San Antonio, is a walkability a big part of what you're trying to bring to downtown?
Absolutely. In a number of years, the city passed its complete streets policy so that every street that's going to be redeveloped as part of a capital improvement project is looked at and evaluated for its potential as a complete street to increase walkability. And it's not only attractive in terms of aesthetics, but I mean, it's actually an economic driver. You know, having that walkability and foot traffic supports the retail downtown and drives the overall larger economic ecosystem of downtown. We want people to be able to park once and be able to get around and spend a day downtown. You can't do that without a walkable environment. And so our policies are more and more progressive in terms of trying to reflect that.
Okay. And you wanted to join in again?
Well, and they translate into some very key things like health, right? You know that for every 1 point of walkability, a person has the ability to lose 6 to 10 pounds. So that's a good thing for all of our citizens, right, is to obviously be health conscious. It also has an environmental impact with regards to CO2 emissions. And then lastly, there's an economic, as Ram was saying. There's savings. By getting out of the automobile and getting on foot, there are actual savings that every citizen can enjoy.
Okay, let me get Tony to try if he's ready again. And Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Now, y'all were talking about Hemisphere not too long ago, and Hemisphere used to have a monorail, and unfortunately, I guess that was just for recreation or something like that. And Breckenridge Park had the sky rides. And those were for recreation. I was kind of wondering, instead of digging up the streets of San Antonio, why not have elevated a train or sky rides for people to get around town instead of being stuck in traffic?
All right, Tony, thank you for that call. I know that L.A. is looking at a newfangled monorail system. The monorails are coming back, recovering from the Simpsons parody eventually. But mass transit, I think, is, you know, whether it's be whether the these sky rides or monorails or what have you, rapid buses, is that part of the plan, Ramiro?
So in terms of the mass transit strategy, you know, kind of where we're at as a city is that we actually don't experience the kind of traffic that, you know, that's actually absolutely horrible. You know, what we need is mass transit to promote a more walkable downtown and to get people in and out of downtown more efficiently, to also support our office users as well, so we don't need as much parking. What VIA is exploring right now in its 2040 plan is first kind of looking at studying those corridors and finding out where does perhaps rapid transit buses, a system like that, where does that make the most sense? There's also what can we get from the community in terms of what do they want to see, what are they willing to support, whether it be light rail, you know, monorail, something of that nature. What is the community supportive of, and is it going to meet the needs that are really out there? You know, for downtown, you know, what we need to see is we need to see more people coming downtown. We need to see greater employment bases downtown. And part of that is also just using more of our land less for parking and more for these kind of economic development generators. So less parking and more mass transit is good for the city, not just downtown, but city as a whole.
And Ben, the people who use mass transit in San Antonio tend to be the working class. Mm-hmm. And so having effective downtown rapid transit, that's good for them.
It is, especially since, you know, downtown is home to a lot of, you know, hospitality industry. You know, it's the hospitality industry in San Antonio.
You're the cooks and you're the busboys and the people who clean the rooms.
Exactly. I think it's also worth noting, if you look at something like the medical center where y'all are located here, you know, that's another big employment area. The city's, in their proposed budget, is looking to add $10 million to VIA to help, you know, with bus circulation to get people from the poorer sides of town to, you know, where they have to trek across town and VIA to the medical center. So, I mean, it's not just downtown, it's other parts of the city as well, other employment hubs as well.
So making downtown work is good for the working guy?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to continue our conversation. We've got a lot of callers here. We've got some voicemails and we've got some emails and Facebook comments as well. We'll get them into our conversation as we talk about the future of downtown. An ongoing study measured the vitality index of downtown San Antonio and says the future looks bright and the lights are much brighter there. We've heard that in the song before. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation. The source continues after this break.
We can look at the number of households, but what I found a little fascinating as a preview is that per square mile in the downtown, you have 726 millennials compared to 452 millennials who are choosing to make downtown their home. Why is that important? Well, we know the millennial generation by nature is much more inclusive, much more accepting of diversity, much more engaging of people from all walks of life, and really helping to drive communities forward.
And we're talking about downtown this afternoon. We're joined by Pat DiGiovanni, President and CEO of the Downtown Advocacy Group Central San Antonio. Ramiro Gonzalez, he's the Interim Assistant Director of the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations Department. Ben Olivo's with us. He's the Managing Editor of Folo Media. And that was just David Downey. He's the President of the International Downtown Association. He was in San Antonio recently talking about San Antonio's Downtown Vibrancy Index after a study has been worked on looking at that. We invite you into the conversation. Let's get Renee online. Hey, Renee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I know Central City extends into our community area, which is around Mission San Jose. And I know in the past they tried to bring in some more affordable housing development in the area. And that would be a big detriment to us because we already have five major complexes without the services for the people in the area. And it's such a disservice to the families when we do that, when we segregate and increase the segregation. So my question is, what are we going to do differently to stop that segregation? And the second thing is, what are we going to do to stop like the 210 development that goes on right next to our World Heritage sites? We need to have some kind of control for that if we want to preserve the historical nature of our landmarks. And that's it.
All right, Renee, thank you for the call. Romero Gonzalez, do you want to respond?
Sure. So, you know, just 2 years ago, we established the World Heritage Office. You know, all of that area is in this World Heritage UNESCO designated area. The purpose of this office is to really be able to leverage all that cultural value of that area and further develop it so that it is of greater value, so that we're really utilizing those assets the way they should. And with that, you know, it attracts development. You know, Colleen Swain, the director over there, is working very hard with the community to identify what does the community, the immediate community, want in that area, and what can the city be doing to attract more of that investment, which is, you know, kind of more of the market, kind of more market rate, and attract more visitors to take better advantage of those sites. In terms of, you know, the development that goes on, you know, there's a process for all that, and all of that is public in terms of the when it goes through the zoning process, the planning process, and then the HDRC or the historic design review process. It's all intended so that there is community input to make sure that the right decisions are made.
We got a Facebook comment from Terry. She talks about the parking situation. $10 to park downtown, why bother? What's downtown that you can't get any other area of town? We know that the county commissioners have approved spending $1.5 million to design and engineer for a new parking garage. There is some sort of, and in the end, it will cost $16 million. So, but parking continues to be a problem. I mean, so Pat, you know, well, that's always the big complaint. Why go downtown if I got to pay for parking?
Yeah, so I really appreciate this question because we've been spending a lot of time looking at, obviously, the parking system. Number one, there are 26,000 parking spaces in our downtown. And that makes up, believe this or not, 43% of the land use, which by all comparisons of any city in America, that is a huge amount of our land that's being used up for parking. So I know the caller pointed out a $10 flat fee. I was downtown this weekend. I paid $10 to park a flat fee in one of the city garages. By the way, of those 26,000 parking spaces, the city only controls about 20% of them. So most of the parking is controlled by the private sector, people that are making a living, if you will. It's an economy like anything else. So like any kind of commodity, this bottle of water, for instance, David, you know, there's a competitive nature to it. What you can get is the high, you know, you want the highest price, obviously, and for the best quality. So this is a very, you know, a lot of it is perception. And I like to start any conversation with parking is nobody comes downtown to park, right? When you go to the Spurs game, you're going to see the Spurs game. You're not going out there to park your vehicle, okay? Some people take the bus. Some people might take an Uber or a taxi or a Lyft. And some people decide to drive, and if they do, they're going to have to pay for parking. There is no free parking at the AT&T Center. And this is similar to downtown. We need to give people more reasons to come downtown, and then parking becomes less of an issue because they had a great time. There was a great experience. And when I look at the assets that we have 8 museums. We have 46 registered historic places in our downtown. We have 3 playgrounds and pools, 13 parks, right? 200 public art installations. What we haven't done is really do a good job of promoting and marketing and branding our downtown as a place that is more than just for tourists. We love the tourists. We love the fact that they come to our community. But we haven't done a good job in telling people why they should come downtown. And then parking, I think, will go away because there is within 10 minutes of any of these areas, $2 parking. Now, you may have to walk, but it's like going to a football game. You know, you want to sit on the 50-yard line, you're going to pay more than if you sit in the end zone. And that's just the economy. That's just how the economy works.
And Ben, Do you think that parking's a problem? Is it a deterrent for folks?
It's a deterrent, I think, because there's a perception that there's a parking problem. I mean, if you look at a lot of big cities, and if San Antonio really wants to become a big city, like Pat mentioned, you're going to have to walk. I think the culture in San Antonio very much is, you know, park right next to the front door of wherever you're going to. I think it also depends on when you come down to San Antonio. If you're a local and you want to come down during spring break, yeah, good luck with that because it's over flooded with tourists. All of that said, I mean, I think there might be a little bit of a parking problem, but I don't think it's as big as what the perception out there is.
Okay, this is another one of our voicemail questions, and go ahead.
I am a small business owner with commercial property in a downtown area, and in the last 2 years, my property taxes have gone up 100%. And I know everybody denies this, but I'm sure it's a effort between the city and Bexar County to exercise urban cleansing. They're trying to drive out all the mom and pops, all the old elderly people who live downtown for these big developers, and I take issue to it. And I wish somebody would do something about this.
All right, property taxes going up, and if you're a mom and pop business down there, you may not be able to keep up. So this is a city question. Romero Gonzalez, you're going to have to handle this one.
I guess basically it's not in the city's best interest to be trying to displace any heritage businesses in the downtown area. You know, what contributes to a vibrant and beautiful downtown is the diversity of everything that's down there. We want to keep these heritage businesses. There are undeniable realities of economic development. Property values do go up. You know, and there's things that, you know, we, I think the city and I think Centra is also looking at in terms of having conversations about how does this happen? How do the taxes fluctuate that much? You know, there is a process through the Bexar County Appraisal District to contest those taxes. And, you know, that's what that process is for. You know, obviously we don't want to get into the details of how they actually calculate everything.
But is there a policy where you're trying to do urban cleansing according to the voice?
Absolutely not. The intent is to deliver a downtown that every San Antonian can be proud of, and you want that downtown to include these heritage businesses that have been there and that will continue to be there.
If we can incentivize people to bring businesses to downtown, why can't we incentivize do something to help these small guys?
Well, we can have a conversation, and you know, even as I said, you know, Colleen Swain in her World Heritage office is having discussions like that in terms of what is the impact of the UNESCO World Heritage designation going to do to that area. And you know, I know that we have small business discussions on the city side as well. So we have nothing on the books as of right now, but you know, we're open to that discussion.
And Ben Olivo, do you think these small-time businesses, these heritage shops, they add to the character of downtown, worth keeping?
They absolutely do. I think you could count maybe on two hands how many of them are actually left.
Is GM Steakhouse still down there?
No, they've been gone for years. There's a few taquerias. There's a few old-school bars left. But in terms of – and
good
I think
ones.
You mentioned – and they are. But you mentioned Dave Tri-Party. I mean, I think that kind of wiped out a lot of those heritage mama-pops back in the late 80s, early 90s. But it would be interesting to see if the city would consider incentivizing, retail or restaurants, which is not a policy of the city's, but if they would consider doing that to maintain that San Antonio authenticity. I think it is important that San Antonio, you know, feel like, you know, the culturally the rest of the city, like the West Side, South Side, maybe other parts of town as well. So.
And Pat DiGiovanni, do you see that as having value?
Well, first of all, let me just say that there is a retail incentive now for housing development projects in the downtown. So if they're going to build a multi-purpose complex for residents and there's a retail component, there is an incentive to assist the property owner and developer of that site. But I think there's always room for having a conversation and looking at policy to promote more retail, local retail in the downtown area. When I look at the retail thing that's going on around the country and these big boxes, I mean, they're in trouble when you look at what's going to happen to them long term. The downtown becomes a very, very attractive place for small retail type of uses for our local residents.
We're going to continue our conversation about the future of downtown, its present vibrancy. What does it mean to you? Do you use downtown, or why don't you? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. 10 years ago, San Antonio's bond program dedicated $10 million to downtown improvements. In 2012, that number jumped to $90 million. And in the most recent bond initiative, overwhelmingly passed in May, earmarks of $170 million going to downtown projects. So if you think the decade of downtown is going to end when the decade is over, probably not. We're probably going to get a double dose of decade for downtown. Why do you think about that? What's your response? Number is 210-614-8980. And we've got a caller with Cameron on the line. And Cameron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my question. My question is more with all the diversity efforts going on into downtown improvements for parks and streets and other mobility services, what's also being done to diversify the economy downtown to start shifting it away from being so tourism and retail dependent into a more diverse and robust economy with stuff that attracts people downtown every day of the week?
All right, Cameron, thank you for the call. So diversity, that's got to be the plan. You just can't depend upon tourism dollars, Pat DiGiovanni. What kind of diversity are we talking about?
Well, within the last few years, we've seen this renaissance of the tech industry in our downtown, what Geekdom is doing, what Tech Block is supporting, a number of others that are really transforming their buildings into incubators and a great workspace for young entrepreneurs, learning. CodeUp is a great example of a recent learning center, if you will, for people who want to know more about how to do web development and those kind of things. It's literally changing the ecosystem of downtown. And what we hope is that those businesses will continue to flourish and spill out over the entire downtown fabric and even beyond that in terms of all of San Antonio. Bringing those individuals to our downtown, the creative talent, is absolutely critical for our 21st century economy. I mean, this is where we're going as an information industry. And we need to continue to support it and incentivize it so that we see more of that in our downtown. And that will help diversify the amenities, the kind of retail offerings that you'll have, whether it's more coffee shops, more eating establishments, more nightlife. That's going to create the kind of diverse economy that we're not seeing today.
What's the connection between the tech world, the tech economy in downtown? I mean, you don't have to be downtown. You can go anywhere and do that.
No.
Why do they want to go there?
Well, I mean, the surveys are showing that more and more young people want to live in that urban, diverse, very inclusive environment, walkable.
I call it the Friends effect.
Yeah.
You know, they all grew up watching that TV show and Seinfeld.
And where they hang out.
The idea is that you have a core group of guys and friends that you do things in sort of a downtown urban environment.
And hung out in the coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
And did their work there and also did their, their
hijinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Shenanigans.
So it works. And I think the economy is responding to the demands of that younger workforce.
Okay, another caller, Alejandro. Alejandro, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, so I just recently moved from Dallas to San Antonio, and one of the things they did that worked really well is form a park underneath the freeways in downtown Dallas to help kind of bring the community together. And I live right off of Broadway, and there's a great swath of land. It's just a fertile green space just south of the pigstand, I think is what it's called. And it just seems so perfect of a green space to have a park be popped up and help desegregate the natural segregation that can happen with the freeway. So I'm just kind of curious, who owns that land, and have there been any efforts to make that into a usable space? Because it's pretty much, from my estimation, about 75% of the way there. It just needs a little bit of landscaping and infrastructure. I don't know if you know which land I'm talking about.
Sure. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about on Broadway. So can you talk about that, Romero, and also bring up all his other green space plans for this downtown San Antonio?
Absolutely. So the space you're talking about is what we call the Broadway Underpass Project. Stakeholders got together about two and a half years ago and asked, you know, how can we better utilize that area? There's also a huge parking issue in that area. So the city got together with a number of different stakeholders, including Centro and the stakeholders there, to develop a concept of what that could be. And so right now, this project is estimated to break ground probably in the next, probably in October, late October, where it'll deliver about 180 parking spaces, but most of the space will still be green space with some walking trails to add that connectivity between the neighborhoods. So there is something happening there. We expect that it'll be delivered just before Fiesta and will be designed in a way to actually accommodate that ongoing Fiesta tradition. So the city is already taking steps to leverage those particular underutilized spaces. And the city is getting bolder in terms of what kind of transformational projects can we undertake to move our city to the next level. And the Broadway, you know, corridor is one example of that. Hemisphere Park is a fantastic example of that. There'll be three different parks at Hemisphere soon, with probably, I think, doubling the amount of green space that's there. Yonaguana Gardens that opened about a year or two ago, I took my son there. It's fantastic. It's world class. And so the city is increasingly getting more bolder in how can we undertake transformational projects that all of our citizens can be proud of and attract more investment and residents to San Antonio.
So, but the San Pedro Creek project is also something that's going to bring more green space to downtown. And so, Pat DiGiovanni, how do you see that with the future of downtown?
Yeah, a wonderful, wonderful new amenity to our urban core. And we have to congratulate both the county and the city and the San Antonio River Authority for having the vision to really turn what is a, you know, dirty old creek going ditch, if you will, going through the middle of our downtown, through the heart of our downtown, really the original part of our downtown, into this wonderful linear park. And it's leadership like that that we need to, you know, congratulate and thank them for really having that vision. What it means is a place for locals to also retake. And with time, we're going to see a tremendous amount of economic development along the creek, just like we have along the river, both north and south extensions of the San Antonio River.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that the museum reach was just a dirty creek itself.
Exactly. So it just really bodes well for the future to have those kind of amenities.
And Ben, do you see that the San Pedro Creek project, I wonder if that's just going to be, is that, you know, echo chamber group speak, or is this really going to be everything they say it is?
I have no idea. We'll see for sure. I think one thing that is interesting to note is the fact that you mentioned the museum reach and then also the mission reach that went south. Those were basically extensions of the Riverwalk north and south. I think, you know, most people would agree that the various entities that played a role, I think the city and county basically play the roles in there, and River Authority as well, did a knockout job with those extensions, museum and mission reach. But I'm really anxious to see how San Pedro Creek, if it'll sort of reach that level.
Okay, another caller. This is Jody. Jody, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just earlier we were talking about parking. I go downtown frequently, and I don't think that parking is a big issue if you're just a little more creative. I often go park for free at the Pearl area and have a drink or some dinner there before going to a show at the Tobin, and a Lyft ride from there just costs $5, which is, you know, half the price of what a parking is downtown. And I also feel like I'm contributing to the economy of, you know, the restaurateurs and bar owners at Pearl, and of course to the Lyft drivers. They're trying to make a few bucks as well.
All right, thank you for the call, Jody. So Pat, to your point that it's parking is not a deterrent if you know how to do it.
Yeah, Jody's a smart guy.
He listens to public radio.
He's figured out how to leverage other assets and take advantage of a great amenity like the Pearl and a great place to visit, as well as take advantage of downtown and all it has to offer. So that's the kind of, I think, user that does his homework, or she'll do her homework, to really get the best out of both.
But the point has been, you know, yeah, downtown is great and fun and invest in it, but, you know, we have a limited amount of dollars that we can spend and where we want to put them. We got to figure out what are the, you know, when have we done enough for downtown? We've got to start thinking about other parts of town. And Ben, that seems to be where you've been coming from.
Yeah, and the reason y'all invited me here, I wrote a column on Follow Media about this, about how, you know, I was sort of immersed in downtown as a reporter and talking to Pat. I did a lot of interviews with him. Now, as a journalist, my focus is the rest of the city and really reporting on this economic segregation. You know, there are a lot of studies out there, recent studies that show that San Antonio is the most economically segregated city in the country. And I just think, you know, we've heard a lot about decade of downtown, and rightfully so. I'm a supporter of downtown. Like I said, I'm a downtowner. But my perspective has changed, and maybe it's time, you know, as we enter the next decade, to kind of start to look at other parts of the city and the needs that they have. I think we had mentioned briefly affordable housing. I mean, there's a 150,000 unit shortage of affordable housing in San Antonio. That's quoting a city study. So what is the city doing to sort of remedy that? So those are the kind of questions that I have in my job at Follow Media.
And quickly, 30 seconds, Pat, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, downtown is only one of 13 regional centers in our community. And to Ben's point, I absolutely agree that really smart growth policy should start, obviously, with our mayor and our elected officials, the council, that we need to start putting those dollars into those regional centers and continue to grow those, as opposed to this kind of unfettered or uncontrolled growth pattern that we've experienced over the last 30 years. So we agree, and we hope that downtown just becomes a model for those other 12 regional centers from the standpoint of walkability and connectedness and transit, because that's how we're going to really make it a better place.
All right, Pat DiGiovanni, President and CEO, Downtown Advocacy Group Central San Antonio. Ben Olivo, Managing Editor of Follow Media. Also with us, Ramiro Gonzalez of the City of San Antonio's Central City Development and Operations Department. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.